Welcome to Texas with Jay Bass and Boog.
That is highly anticipated. Looking at this game on the surface, it's easy to see how TCU can have some of the hype that they respectfully and what's the best word for it? The respect that they have is justified, right? They're undefeated. They've come back in a number of games. They've shown resilience. They've shown their ability to be disciplined, especially late in games. That is where they specialized. One thing I was looking at is Texas leads the conference in scoring in the first half. TCU actually leads the conference in scoring in the second half. And if you've been following the Texas football team for the football season, you have kind of picked up on a certain trend in some games where they have kind of took their foot off the pedal. There have been moments where they've had trouble to score. And so that is something that I want to say has been hyped up, almost a little overrated in my opinion, because there are a couple of games actually where Texas has scored 20 plus points in the second half. So the biggest thing for me in this game, and then I'll give my prediction, is Texas is an entirely different team at home. I mean, it's almost, you know, clones out there, so to speak, because when you look at the production, the offensive efficiency, the amount of the percentage of completions we have, the effectiveness of the run game as far as yards per attempt goes, everything is up significantly. And so when you're asking TCU to come on the road, who have played, let me see, the last four games, they have played significantly tight games going into the fourth quarter and in overtimes. They actually are somewhat of a different team on the road. And naturally, you know, most teams are going to have some some drop off when they don't play from home. We all know that. But this team specifically going against Texas, who has played well against competent opponents, I would say, I think it won't be close. I think I've got Texas by a 2-touchdown favorite. I think that while TCU has been fortunate and they have played exceptional defense down the home field stretch, my biggest key to win is and I've kind of undertook this slogan, it's up to Quinn to win for this one. Because if you look at the times where Texas has struggled to score in the second half, our completion percentage, our yards per attempt, our production overall has dropped significantly from the quarterback position. And so we all know how great Bijan is. He's going to get his. But if Texas is going to be, quote unquote, the Texas that it can be, it's going to be up to Quinn to be, I won't say perfect, but he's going to have big time plays, explosive plays. Other external factors, weather may be a concern. We're getting kind of conflicting reports on the rain. And of course, that'll play some sort of factor. But at the end of the day, a call. But can we hit the D shops to Xavier Worthy? Can we get just press that intermediate range with JT Sanders? Can we effectively score touchdowns instead of field goals in the red zone? I think we can. If you look at the past quarterbacks that TCU has faced, those opposing teams' quarterbacks, they have come out throwing the ball early. And that's how, you know, inevitably TCU gets in these sort of underdog roles. And I think they play off of that. That's just their whole MO. You know, they're always counted out. They're always counted down. They're always underestimated. And they thrive in that position. However, this particular game, I expect Texas to put the pedal to the metal the entire game, feed off the momentum of the crowd, and for them to get a Sark's first significant victory as the head coach of the University of Texas.
Hey, Jay Bass, I got a question for you, man.
Sure.
What do you think about how TCU has played compared to what they lost in the transfer portal?
I'm sorry, you kind of faded out there at the end. Ask it one more time.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, sir.
What do you think? How do you think TCU, like, what would you give give them their best props to compared to what they lost in the transfer portal?
I think the overall team chemistry, obviously it helps to have experience at the quarterback position. Max Duggan has performed well in clutch moments. The best way to put it is just their team discipline. When they get down, they don't get too down. They don't get erratic. They don't start making boneheaded plays. At the biggest times of the game, Max Duggan goes to his best player, which is Quentin Johnston, one of the best wide receivers in the entire college football. And so, you know, they obviously have one of the best play callers in college football in Garrett Riley. So there are a lot of advantages that they have, but all of those advantages don't mean anything if the players aren't executing on the field. And I think because of that chemistry, because of that buy-in, because of the early success that they've had, which obviously makes it easier to buy in, I think that you're starting to see a team that is, you know, I hate to use a cliche word, but they are a Cinderella story. I mean, they are getting the breaks, but it's breaks that they're basically in the right position at the right time. And so if you look, especially I was going back and looking at the game, their last game against Texas Tech, it's a close game down to the end. Texas Tech, the coach, notoriously known for doing this, he goes for it on fourth down an absurd amount of times. But he goes for it on his own 30 to 40 yard line. They don't get it. TCU ends up scoring, and then they take, you know, a 10-point lead late in the game. So that, you know, you look at West Virginia, they were unable to score late in the game. Close game, TCU goes out, and they get the ball to Quentin Johnston and to Jared Riley and their weapons, and then they, you know, get up. So a lot of these games, the final score may look like, okay, yeah, they won by 10, they won by double digits or what have you, but it's all of their games have been close, and I think initially that hurt them in the playoff ranking, because when the committee looked at the totality of the games, these games aren't blowouts. You know, they didn't go into these games, you know, from the very first snap saying, hey, we're just going to dominate, and the other team was never in it. They're actually coming off games where they've had a deficit, and they've had to, you know, grind and fight their way. If this game does turn out to be close in the end, you have to give TCU the edge because they've been there, done that, and they've done it, I mean, pretty consistently over the course of the season. So I just don't expect it to be close.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, Jimmy, I'm going to ask you just two quick questions. I like your analysis of the home and away with Texas. I think you're right. I think they play much better at home. And the other thing is, how many games ago was that where Quinn went like 19 of 49? Was that 2 games ago or 3 games ago?
2 games ago. So that was against Oklahoma State.
Okay.
And it was – oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and do you think they've kind of fixed that? Because it seemed like – that game, I don't think it was all Quinn. I think a lot of it was the wide receivers not finishing routes. I mean, if you watch some of the game, it looks like some of them are open, just Quinn's missing them. I don't think Quinn's got accuracy issues. So do you think they fixed that? I think they played pretty well against Kansas State last week, right? Like a hard-fought game. Did they get any injuries? Are they fully healthy after coming off of that Kansas State game?
Yeah, no, that's a great point, and this is why I specifically mentioned it's up to Quinn to win, because you can really see the inefficiency of the offense if he's off. And in that game against Oklahoma State, you're talking about winds that were 30 miles per hour plus. There were some concerns about his ability to grip the football because of some finger injury that he had during the earlier part of that week. And so, as you mentioned, Quinn isn't necessarily known for having accuracy issues. So when he misses 30 passes, you're talking about, you know, some abnormality having to be factored into the equation. And so, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, there were some guys open. He did miss a lot of throws. And it wasn't just him. I don't think the team performed at a very high level. I mean, towards the end of that game, one of our most reliable receivers, on the very last drive, actually, Quinn hits him in the hands. It bounces off his hands, and the other team intercepts the ball. You know, he has a earlier in the game, in the second half, he has a wide-open Xavier Worthy for a touchdown. Xavier Worthy stumbles over himself and is unable to catch the ball.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah.
So, yeah, so, you know, it's efficiency, it's production, the effort. I love the effort. If as far as the matchups go, I love the fact that run-stopping team, and that does kind of make you one-dimensional. And so will Max Duggan take what the defense gives him? Will he try to press? Injury specifically, Quentin Johnson may or may not play. If he does play, I think it's safe to assume that he won't be 100%, which is a huge thing for Texas because one of the liabilities on that defense is the secondary. So it's a bend but don't break. Will Mac Duggan take the underneath shots? Can they drive methodically down the field? And I just think because we're so young and the reason we play so well at home is because those young guys need to see success. They need to feel the energy of the home crowd. They ride the momentum waves, so to speak. So it's easier for them to play at a high level when, you know, that adrenaline is pumping. And it's harder for them to come back from, a succession of negative plays. And that's just with young guys in general, right? Because they're still learning the game. They're still trying to, you know, understand college football, X's and O's. So in the game within the game, it all comes down to, hey, can you keep your head on straight? Can you make sure you don't make the mental mistakes? And I think they do a lot better job of that at home.
All right, Jay Bass, we'll kind of go over the team stats. Points per game, TCU's been averaging 43.1 per game. Texas has been averaging 36.1. Points allowed, TCU's been averaging... What's that? Does somebody have a question? Oh, okay. Points per game, TCU's averaging 26.9 given up, and Texas is only allowing 21.8. Total yards per game, TCU's 508 to Texas is 447 per game. Yards allowed is 396 for TCU and 381 for Texas. Max Duggan has got 2,407 yards passing, 24 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. Quinn Ewers has got 1,300 yards, 13 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. So quarterbacks, Max Duggan's definitely got better stats, but like you said, Jay Bass, Quinn Ewers is probably would be up there if he had missed, what was it, 2 or 3 games that he missed?
Yeah, he missed basically 2.5 games.
Yeah, 2.5 games. So his stats probably would be a lot better if up there with him if that was the case. TCU, Miller has got over 1,000 yards rushing with 12 touchdowns. Bijan Robinson has 1,100 yards with 12 touchdowns also. Johnston, their wide receiver, their leading wide receiver, has 42 receptions for 650 yards. And Xavier Worthy's got 4 receptions for 552 yards. So the over-under is 65. So what you got, Jay Bass, on the over-under on that?
Yeah, man, real quick before I give that, I just want to piggyback on one more stat. If you look at home and away, the split stats, for TCU, and their passing defense specifically, it's pretty good, actually, as far as completion percentage goes, but it's far worse on the road. So at home, they allow 47.7% of completion percentage.
Yeah.
6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. On the road, it jumps up to 59, 9 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. You look at, and real quick, the last stat, you look at Texas, they're at 55% completion percentage on the road. That jumps all the way up to almost 70% at home. You're talking about 10 touchdowns, 5 interceptions on the road, 10 touchdowns, 1 interception at home.
So
like we're talking about an offense that, I mean, just takes a dramatic leap, and I think that's ultimately the difference. At the end of the day, I have a prediction of, let me make sure I give the same score I gave earlier in the week because I want to stay consistent here.
No, I really wouldn't. I was looking more at the over-under.
Oh, the over. Oh, I definitely take the over. Again, the liability with Texas in the secondary. I think Max Duggan has played pretty well, especially considering, you know, he has a great job of being a dual threat athlete and being just efficient with the ball late in the games. So I would definitely take the over in that one.
All right.
One thing I want to add with the game too, I went back and looked, and Texas Tech, I remember watching because I watched that game, did a really good job at containing Max Duggan. Like, he was, I think he had 12 rushes for negative 4 yards. And I think if that same thing happens this week, I think Texas has a better offense than Texas Tech, and I think they do a lot better than with that stat. Because TCU, I was watching the game. Games that TCU was offensively done really well, it's Duggan's legs are a part of it.
Right. And that, to me, that plays right into Texas's hands, because Texas honestly has one of the best rushing defenses in the country. If you go back and look at how Deuce Vaughn played, if you go back and look at, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs, these are some of the premier talent in college football, and the defense has done exceptionally well. I think shout out to Chris, really shout out to PK and Bo Davis and those guys, because we're talking about a team that was coming off one of the worst in school history, and at least they're good at something. We can complain and we can criticize the secondary, and they're, you know, they're coming along, they're dealing with injuries, but at the same time, it's going to be vital for us to make Max Duggan a passer and passer only. I think you're absolutely right.
What's the spread of that game? Sorry, not the over, the spread.
Last time I checked, it was 7.5. Interesting note, if y'all ever watched Late Night Kick, their model actually suggested that that wasn't enough, that it should have been at 10.5. It's just, I mean, it may sound shocking to, you know, say that Texas is going to blow them out, but if you look at just how they've played, it should be, I guess that's a better way of putting it, it should be an onslaught of points.
Late Night Kick, but. Yeah,